Welcome to Lesson 25, Confidence. We've spent most of the year so far getting clarity around the various aspects in our cycle of excellence. You've gotten clarity on your mindset blocks, clarity on managing your finances, clarity on managing your business, and clarity around your marketing. Now we start building your confidence. Confidence is the second C in our four C's. Confidence is that inkling that says, well, I can do at least this much. And confidence feeds your courage, the third C, which we'll talk about in a future lesson. Confidence is a sense of certainty or surety around an issue. It's totally possible to be confident in one area and not in another. That's how confidence works. When we don't have clarity, it's damn near impossible to be confident. So what blocks our clarity? There are external sources like lacking data or not being able to see a clear path forward on something. External clouds are much like the clouds you see in the sky. Eventually, they'll roll away and you'll see the sun again. We eliminate those clouds by asking questions, researching, or finding the answers we're looking for in people who can help us. But sometimes we can have all the data in the world staring us in the face and we still don't take action. In those cases, a lack of clarity isn't coming from outside ourselves. It's not more data that we need, it's more assurance. There's a lack of confidence in ourselves and a need for personal permission that's holding us back. This lesson is meant to help you reclaim your personal permission slip, build your confidence, and take actions that support your growth as both a business owner and a human being. The primary source of inner resistance is often our inner critic, that place in our brain that wants us to stay safe by reminding us of what is familiar. But safety is, in many aspects, an illusion. And what is familiar may feel comfortable and safe because it's familiar, even if in the long term it's doing us more harm than good. Here's an example. A client knew that they needed to be monitoring their money on a regular monthly basis, not obsessing over it, but keeping track of what was coming in and going out. It was both a practice to help her learn to drop the judgment around money and also an opportunity for her to practice the skills of being the CEO, to know what's going on with the money in her accounts. So at the end of the month, I asked her for her sales report. How much income did she generate from her business during the month? She dragged her feet for a week until our coaching call where I sat with her and patiently waited for her to open up her spreadsheet and update her numbers. She'd been on vacation for half the month, so she expected that her numbers would be quote unquote bad, and she felt shame around reporting bad numbers. So, you know, why bother to do the work? But here's the kicker. She actually made more revenue than she expected. That's right. She made more money than she had expected. She spent the entire week dreading the action she knew she had to take instead of just doing it and finding out she did better than she thought she did. Why? Because of the stories her inner critic was telling her. Things like, why bother? You were on vacation and didn't do anything this month to actually make any sales. You're just going to do all this work and find out you didn't make any money like always. Instead of addressing her inner critic, she let it run the show. Now, we all have feelings of doubt from time to time. That's normal. We have to face those feelings, keep showing up, and do the work anyway if we want to quiet that voice. Otherwise, that voice wins. Her goal for the month wasn't to do a bunch of stuff. It was to simply see how much money she could make by not doing anything new. And she forgot that. She let the old story of you have to do something to make the money happen, you have to work hard to earn the money, distract her from her original goal, which was simply to see what happened and drop the judgment. When she finally looked at her numbers, she was thrilled to see how much money came in without her having to hustle for it. And she sighed and said, why did I freak out? Why didn't I just do the work without all the worry? Exactly. We worry because we're used to it. We worry because that's our standard operating mode. We future trip. We prognosticate into the future because we've had to do it in the past, so we carry it with us instead of just dropping the judgment, dropping the fear, dropping the worry, and trusting the process, just doing the work. Do what you know you need to do. Commit to doing it for the length of time you said you'd do it. Keep your head down and do it until it's done. Then you can come back and evaluate your results. That's why I say plan, do, evaluate, and celebrate, not plan, worry, do a little, worry more, do more, hustle, 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 worry, 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 change your mind before you finish, blame yourself, and never evaluate your results. Make a plan. Do it to the best of your abilities. Then evaluate. Do what you can to practice dropping the judgment in the middle of the doing, or even before you do it. You have no way of knowing how things will actually turn out until you start the journey and get to the end of the road. It's easy to stand on the banks of the river and imagine all the bad things that could happen. It's easy to get 3 feet into the river and start panicking about how much farther you still have to go and start future tripping about what could cause the whole thing to fall apart. It's harder to honor your commitment to yourself to step into the river and see it through to the other side, regardless of what comes your way, and just trust that you'll figure it out as you go. As a client of mine once said to me, worry doesn't make money, so why do it? We do it because we've trained ourselves to do it, and we can untrain ourselves too. Start by acknowledging where you're at. Start by recognizing what you really want. It's not selfish to go for what you want. It's okay to want what you want, when you want it, and the way you want it, even if things don't turn out that way. Look, disappointment is part of the process in life and work. Disappointment helps you see what's possible when you use it as a tool to navigate to your desires. Disappointment, like fear, is a signal that your body gives you to help you plot your course. Most of us, however, stay stuck in a downward spiral, worried about whether or not the signals we feel in the moment will be our reality forever. And our brains, wanting to keep us safe, kick on our survival instinct that says, I don't like the way this feels. It must be bad for me, so let's not do this anymore, okay? But if you are more than your basic survival instincts, you also know that sometimes we have to do hard things in order to derive the benefit. Exercise isn't always fun or pleasant. And most of us need to do some form of it in order to stay healthy. Building anything from a house to a business requires effort and is not always fun or sexy. Sometimes it's hard work, necessary hard work, in order to have our desired finished result. If you only ever listen to your inner critic instead of guiding your inner critic, you'll stay stuck. Now, your inner critic serves an important purpose, to remind you of potential danger. But it's up to you to inform and guide your inner critic and let it know when a situation is actually dangerous and requires avoidance, or when it's something that's effortful and necessary to get the job done. Sometimes you can't do that on your own. That's also normal. Sometimes we need the help of coaches, therapists, or other professional support in order to sort through those things. Do what you can as you are able and ask for the support you need to succeed. Here's a technique I've used to help me generate instant confidence when I need to make a decision or take action. I call it the Army of Grandma's technique, and it's an adaptation of an exercise that I learned from Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith. Begin by closing your eyes. Take a deep breath and imagine a time when you felt totally and completely safe and loved. Let yourself sink into a state of total and completely unconditional love. For me, I found that safety as a child with my grandmother. Whenever I was with her, I knew I was safe, I was loved for who I was, and that there was no judgment. And that's why I call this the Army of Grandma's technique. But for you, it might not be your grandmother. It could be anyone or anything, or even just a sense that in this moment, you are totally and completely safe and loved unconditionally. Breathe into that sensation. And as I count down from 3 to 1, imagine that sense surrounding you, multiplying that energy field of unconditional love by a factor of 10. 3, 2, 1. Now imagine yourself really soaking up that energy. It overflows from you and around you in all directions, filling the space immediately around you. Now imagine that energy multiplying by 20. Not only does it fill the room, but it expands and radiates far beyond you and the room that you're in outward, in all directions, into your neighborhood. And multiply it again by 50, so that the energy of unconditional love radiates beyond you, your room, your neighborhood, out into your community, your state or your province, and upwards into the sky and downwards into the crust of the earth. Continue to feel this energy flowing through you, knowing that you are completely surrounded by a force field of unconditional love. Now multiply it again by 100. Imagine that sensation flowing through you and encompassing the earth, radiating out into space. You are totally and completely engulfed in a field of unconditional love. And now begin to feel this sense of unconditional love melting and swirling into a new form. One that says, yes, I can. Yes, I am able. Yes, this is for me. Yes to the possibilities around you. And from this place of yes, radiating out into the world and beyond it, now sense the swirling energy shifting again into a sense of gratitude and willingness, readiness for your very next step, whatever that step might be. Take a breath. And open your eyes and feel that energy flowing through you. This is, at its core, a way to boost your confidence quickly. Now, for me, I begin by imagining my grandmother, then multiplying her by 10, 20, 50, 100, until I have an army of grandmas that are surrounding me, protecting me, and I know they have my back. That's why I call it the Army of Grandmas technique. And if grandma doesn't do it for you, keep playing with the visualization until you find something that does do it for you. It's a handy way to help shift your energy and take your focus off of self-doubt and anxiety and refocus on clear-headed thinking and more confident decision-making or action-taking. Your assignment is to practice this technique over the next 30 days. And when you start to feel your confidence slipping, just do it and notice the results. Again, drop the judgment because it'll probably feel awkward the first few times you do it. And that's fine. Just commit to practicing it and see what shows up for you. Document your awarenesses and remember that everything is an opportunity for awareness, even this exercise. In our next lesson, we're going to talk about one of the eventualities in most municipalities, taxes. Even if you don't live in the United States, learning how to consistently allocate a portion of your business income toward your taxes is an important step in business ownership. While we can't cover every permutation of tax law, we can talk about the basics you need to be mindful of as you grow your business. So I will see you there.